Dr. Jen Remus. We're going to table our discussion on NFL quarterbacks until the next episode of View from the Couch. We do have Jaime, who's calling in from South America. And at this point, I'd like to hear what you have to say, Jaime. Welcome to Shattering Us.
Delon, it's been a while.
Yes, it has.
Right. I do download every day's teachings and discussions and listen to them throughout the day, at night, et cetera.
Well, thank you.
It's a little bit hard to listen to it during the day between the hours you have because I'm so busy in what I do in commodities. It was better when it used to be at the beginning of the morning. That was better.
Yeah, you're still in Colombia, correct?
Yeah, I'm still in Medellin. And listen, there's no way I'd ever go back to the States.
Yeah, you've got issues with a crazed wife and custody issues as well, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, the custody issues are really over because the three are really now 18 or more. So that's over. She accomplished what she did, which was she's got them poisoned in their heart. They have rage, anger, hatred towards me, et cetera. But yet they don't know the truth about what she did, her adultery, fornication, et cetera, other items and all that. But anyway, I look at it this way. I've gotten over that. I leave it alone. I'm moving on with my life. They know that I want to be in their lives, but we'll see what happens down the road. But anyway, what I called about, you know, some of the teachers I've been hearing, some of them you mentioned were discussing the Seventh-day Adventist.
Right.
And I have a really interesting story on that because my parents, who were in Christianity for many, many years, like myself, and while I was in Christianity, when I went to live with them at the beginning, when I was going through the divorce, in which they were definitely a blessing to me because I was mentally destroyed. But anyway, they ended up going to one of the Seventh-day Adventist seminars in which talk about the apocalypse, which is their main tool to, I guess, get converts.
Yes, yes.
And my parents fell for it, and they went into it, especially because of the Shabbat.
They have Ellen White as their prophetess. She's now dead, but she's it. And she, which in her whole thing grew out of this Protestant, the number of Protestants that, and most of them were associated with the Jehovah's Witness movement. That predicted that sometime in the 1800s was going to be the great day that they would use Jesus Christ was going to return. And of course, they were just absolutely stupid. And when it didn't happen, they called it the great calamity because the Jehovah's Witnesses lost a preponderance of their members having put their heads on this day, you know, and got them cut off when it didn't happen. So Ellen White was trying to salvage the reputation of Jehovah's Witnesses when she created the Seventh-day Adventists. And they got the Shabbat day right, they got everything else wrong.
Right. Well, let me explain to you. So my parents left Christianity, joined the Seventh-day Adventists. This happened right about the same time that I moved in with them because, like I said, because of what happened in the war to be destroyed, I was in a period of mild to very, very hard, but not deteriorating depression. I couldn't do anything, didn't want to work. I slept all day. I mean, just the story. But anyway, they went to one of those seminars, and they joined the Seventh-day Adventists. And the main thing that got them wasn't only the apocalypse stuff, but the Shabbat.
Okay? Right.
And they saw that the Christianity was wrong on that, and so they joined.
And by the way, the Seventh-day Adventist is a Christian cult. There is much a Christian cult as are Roman Catholics. There's 20 million of them. While there's not as many of them as there are Roman Catholics, I don't want to say that. But amongst Protestant denominations of Christianity, the Seventh-day Adventists are huge. I mean, it's 20 million people misguided by them.
They got universities, the hospitals, and all that. Anyway, so when that happened, I didn't know much about the Seventh-day Adventists. I knew it was a cult in relation to Christianity. At that time, I thought Christianity was there because I was in it for 22 years. But so I didn't immediately go and attack them and try to get them out because I knew that it wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. And I just waited for the right timing. And before I left to go to South America about a year and a half or two, I got the opening, and I want to share with you how I did it and how Yeshua showed me how to do it, because I think that others can do the same thing. And what I've heard you teach so far on the Seventh-day Adventists, I haven't heard you mention this.
Okay.
And this is what I showed them about the Seventh-day Adventists, and it's like, wow, it opened their eyes. Okay, and that is this. Okay. Ellen White professes in her teachings that the work of the cross, okay, was not completed
right
at the time that Yeshua, or let's say Jesus, their Jesus, was crucified.
Right. Right.
That work of the cross was not completed until she went into, in a vision or whatever, into the mercy of mercy seat, and she sprinkled the blood in that. That's her belief, and that's part of what they believe.
Mm-hmm. Okay? By the way, and that, well, by the way, is very similar to Paul's claim. Paul claims that the work of let's use the, since we're talking about Christianity, we might as well use the misnomer of Jesus Christ. He said that he was incapable of completing the task, so it had to be Paul's sufferings were necessary to finish what God could not complete. Now, what Ellen White is claiming, and I didn't know that she made that claim, that she's upping the Paul one. By the way, Paul lied when he said that, but she's upping Paul one and saying, well, that Paul wasn't even able to complete it, that she was required to complete it. So she went to the mercy seat and spread blood on the mercy seat, and that completed it for, wow.
So what ended up happening was I actually, on paper, through the internet, came across that as I started to study to some degree about the cult of Seventh-day Adventists. And when I showed them that, then it opened up the mind. So I said, do you understand that what they're saying is that the Savior's work and job at the cross was not done? It wasn't complete. It wasn't there, that it was Ellen White. I said, do you understand that is blasphemy? That is a heresy. And that opened their eyes. That opened their eyes right away because I showed it from the mind. Now, what was interesting was this. After they pulled out, okay, and then they started to go more to a messianic type ministry, which was, I was better with. Okay, so what ended up happening is pastor.
That's still not good. You're moving from one cult to another, but all
right. Right, but at that time I thought it was better. But anyway, so what ended up happening afterwards, which is really interesting, was that the pastor came over to the house, elders came over, friends came over from the Seventh-day Adventists, and they all started saying, no, this is wrong, etc. And so I would say to them, well, wait a minute, hold on a minute. You all believe in Ellen White teachings about the mercy seat, et cetera. And then they would say to me, no, that's not true. We gave that up a long time ago. We don't follow her teachings anymore. We don't do this.
That's funny. You got a religion cult founded by a woman that claims to be a prophet. And now to keep you into the cult, they're going to disavow their founder.
Right. Now, what's interesting is this. So they said they didn't have anything more to do with her, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'd ask them.
Such a lie.
No, I know it is, but listen to this. So they said, we stopped doing that and followed her about 30 years ago. And now we're talking about, I'm about 2000 and, I moved to my parents.
Yeah, and by the way, just to demonstrate that what they've said is a lie, is that the series, and I did a month-long series, devoted an hour for almost a month, to the 28 edicts of the Seventh-day Adventists. And as you move down the list of their claims, all of which are untrue, you get towards the end, and all of their claims are about the unique status as a prophet of Helen White. And that they view that Helen White's writings are on the same status of Moshe and the Torah and Yashayah and all of the Yirmiyah and all of those. They claim that her writings are on that status, and the fact is that everything that she said was untrue. I mean, she didn't get anything right.
Right. Well, let me share this with you. So the pastor would come and all that, and so I'd ask him that question because I knew how to play the game.
Right.
I was in sales for a long time, so I'm using my abilities, etc. So I'd ask the pastor. I said, "Okay, so when did you guys stop following Ellen? Because she was off." And he said, "Oh, we stopped following her about 35 years ago." So now I'm with them around 2007, so that's going to put them into the early 80s or mid 70s, which they supposedly stopped following.
Uh-huh.
So I said, "Well, can you explain this to me then?" They said, "What? You all just had your major conference in Washington, D.C. in the year 2000. okay? And I have the documentation from that.
Right.
And in that documentation, you all affirm your belief in Ellen White and her going into the mercy seat, the sprinkling of the blood, etc. So what you're telling me now, that you don't go with her, doesn't line up with what your leadership says.
Right.
So can you explain to me that you all break away from the leadership of the Seventh-day Adventists? Are you all a separate church, not having anything to do with the hierarchy or what? But let me tell you something. If you want to see somebody's face totally drop, their mouth go to the floor, and they say, yeah. Oh, we got to go now. We have to go.
Yeah, yeah. Don't bring up evidence and reason, because if you hold me accountable so that I can't provide a bold-faced lie, I'm not in a position to defend my religion. Yeah. And by the way, you wouldn't even have to have done that. All you'd have to do is go to SeventhDayAdventist.com. And if you go to SeventhDayAdventist.com, the first thing they're going to try to present to you is their 28 edicts of Seventh-day Adventist. Read through them. You know, click on each one of them, read through them, and you'll find that they are devoted to Helen White. Helen White's biggest issue was that she went into these trances, and she came out of the trances always spelling darkness. That's how she came out of the trances. And in her biggest revelations were about it's Kabbalah, which she revised. She probably knew it. What she simply did is she took a Christian spin on the rabbinical pronouncements in Kabbalah, where there is this cosmic battle between Satan and their Jesus Christ. And that Satan and Jesus Christ are at war with each other, and they both have their spiritual warriors, and that is ultimately the great battle. And it's Kabbalah. It's absolutely occultist in its basis. And that's her primary focus, is that conflict. And she is wholly incorrect, as are the rabbis when they embraced Kabbalah. It's numerology. It's all the stuff that God just despises.
Okay, total separate subject.
Okay.
In relation to what happens when we die. Okay.
Okay. So you did get your parents away from Seventh-day Adventist. Okay. Good for you.
Now, in
that's
the end,
great.
In the end, before my father died last year in February, basically from dementia, his system just basically gave up. But they did accept. Yahushua and my mother's accepted
the
Father.
All right. I mean, we're coming up to a commercial break here, but we'll pick you up and we'll continue to answer your questions after the commercial break. So we have lost Jaime. He wanted to talk about what happens to us after we die. And if Jaime calls back, we'll address his specific question. But otherwise, I'm going to return to Paul's corruption. The seminal document created by Paul, not his first, the letter to the Galatians is his rebuttal to Yahushua's disciples in the Jerusalem council, where he was called to defend himself, and his very hot, hostile, rude rebuttal is in his first letter, that of the Galatians, which outlines and introduces us to Pauline doctrine, a false notion, by the way, that there are two covenants as opposed to one, and that there is such a thing called an Old Testament. There isn't. There's just Yahweh's testimony, period, and it's comprised entirely of the Hebrew Torah, prophets, and Psalms. That has been obsoleted and replaced by an entirely new doctrine, a New Testament, of which Paul claims to be the author. That's the basis of Galatians, but it's also the basis of this particular chapter in Romans. In Romans, Paul is creating this false hypothetical based upon the divorce in the Torah. Every statement that he's made thus far has been untrue, but the purpose was not to talk about divorce. The purpose was to besmirch the Torah, to eliminate the Torah's involvement in our lives. So in Romans 7:5, he writes, "For then we were in the flesh, the suffering misfortune, being evil, offensive, and errant. And that was the result of the Torah operating and functioning in our bodies to bear fruit unto death." So Paul somehow twists his false view of the Torah to say that the Torah is offensive, that the Torah is that which causes us to be evil. The Torah is the source of our uncontrollable impulses and sexual desires, our pathema. The Torah is the cause of evil, of hamartia, and that the Torah functioning and operating in us, in our flesh, bears the fruit of death. So the Torah, rather than being Yahweh's guidance to that which is good, Yahweh's means to liberate us, Yahweh's means to cause us to have the opportunity to be immortal, from Paul's point of view, the Torah is the opposite of all of those things. That was Romans 7:5. Then in Romans 7:6, he writes, "But now at the present time, we have been released. We have been removed from the Torah, having died in that which inappropriately hindered and restrained us, holding us down in order to enslave us to a different and completely new spirit, and not the old, inferior, obsolete, or former age by way of that which had been written." At this point, if you're informed, if you're rational, if evidence and reason mean anything to you, and you're reading Paul's most important letter, that to the hideous empire known as Rome, the empire that Yahweh calls the beast, that Yahweh calls vicious, savage, the empire that not only destroyed Jerusalem once, but twice, the empire that made the Torah illegal, that made circumcision, the sign of the covenant, illegal, that made observing Yahweh's seven annual meetings illegal. Hadrian did all of those things, even renaming Jerusalem after himself, and then renaming Yehuda, the Roman province, after the long extent Philistines. So Paul, in his letter to the people that Yahweh said were the most hideous in all of human history, he says that you all are now released from the Torah. The Torah has died. And that's good, because it was the Torah that hindered you. It's the Torah which restrained you. It's the Torah which held you down in order to enslave you. But now you have an entirely different and new spirit, and not that old, inferior, obsolete, former age by way of that which was written. Well, at this point, the only thing that had been written was the Torah, prophets, and Psalms. So what Paul is announcing here, folks, is that the Torah, prophets, and Psalms no longer enslave. They're no longer restrain you. That Paul now has an entirely different spirit. A spirit that he is going to be the apostle of, the founder, the guiding light of this new religion and new faith and new spirit that's opposed to everything God has said. You even have the pretext of an open mind. Just pretend for a moment that you're not so swallowed up in religion, patriotism, and politics that you'll actually consider a written text and evaluate the veracity of the author. If you do, and you consider what Paul wrote here in Romans 7:6, it's over. There is no more God bless America. There's no more Christianity. The religion of Christianity is completely destroyed. The Christian New Testament is trash. Faith by salvation in the gospel of grace is absolutely untrustworthy. Everything falls apart the moment you take an open-minded, rational, and informed look at the seventh chapter of Romans, which Paul has now written. But now at this present time, we have been released and removed from the Torah, having died in that which inappropriately hindered and restrained us, holding us down in order to enslave us, to a different and completely new spirit, and not the old, inferior, obsolete, and former age by way of that which was written. He is saying that the Torah, which Yahweh authored, Yahweh not only dictated the Torah to Moshe, he spoke it in front of the children of Israel. Yahweh says that his Torah is good. He says that his Torah is easy to understand for those that are open-minded. He says that his Torah is the way to get to know him and the way to be guided to the path to life. The Torah is our Heavenly Father's teaching. And yet, while Yahweh says that the purpose of the Torah is to liberate us from human institutions, from the religious and political diatribes of humankind, Paul says, no, that Torah, that's not here to liberate us. No, that Torah enslaved us. While Yahusha says, not a single stroke of a single Hebrew letter that comprises the Torah will be annulled or done away with so long as the heavens and earth exist. Paul, who claims to speak for him, said, no, the Torah is dead. Gone. It's over. So how in the world can you have a religion that claims an identity with an individual that you've just contradicted? In the Sermon on the Mount, his single most important public declaration, Yahusha says, do not think that I have come to do away with the Torah. Then here's Paul saying, yeah, he did away with it. It's over. It's dead. Now, if you're rational, if you're informed, Christianity is dead. This is the basis of the Christian religion. This is the author of half of the Christian New Testament. He just directly contradicted Yahweh, who just happens to be God, and Yahusha, who just happens to be the diminished corporeal manifestation of God, while claiming to speak for that very same God. It means that to be a Christian, you have to be stupid. It means to be a Christian, you have to be ignorant. It means to be a Christian, you have to be irrational. That's what this means. When you consider what Paul had to say here, it's so obvious that what he is doing is contradicting everything that God said was important, everything that Yahusha said is important, while claiming to be inspired by them, that there is a 0% possibility that that can be true. It's not that this kind of chips away at the credibility of Christianity. It destroys it. Without Paul, there is no religion of Christianity. Because Yahusha was Torah observant. And therefore, if you are going to follow him, you will be Torah observant. If you're going to follow him, you are participating and answering the invitation to attend Passover and Matzah and Bukurim and Shavuot. And you know what those days represent as it relates to the fulfillment of Yahweh's promises relative to the covenant. If you are listening to Yahusha, then you're engaged in the covenant. And you've come to know who he is by observing the Torah. And if any of those things is applicable in your life, then you're not only distancing yourself from Paul, you view Paul as Satan's apostle. You know that everything he said was the antithesis of what's true. So rather than him being an inspired contributor to your Holy Bible, you've discarded him. You've recognized that he was, as Yahusha said in the Sermon on the Mount, the lowly and the little one, Paulos, that is condemned for besmirching the Torah. That he is the wolf in sheep's clothing. that he is in the open letter to Ephesus in Revelation, that he is the false apostle. That he is, as Yahweh identifies him in Chabaouk, as the plague of death. His last statement is wrong on all accounts. Not only does the Torah continue to endure, and Yosha said so, and Yahweh said so, that it's eternal. It never ends. Not only is it eternal and not dead, not only is it the only guidance, the only means of coming to know who God is. Without the Torah, God's unknowable. Without the Torah, the covenant is unknowable. And if you don't know the terms and conditions of the covenant, you can't engage in a relationship with God. It is impossible without the Torah being observed and applicable in your life. And literally part of the fabric of your life. If that's not the case, then you are not in a relationship with God. Your religious relationship is with a false deity of man's making. If you are not Torah observant, if you don't have an affinity and a love for the Torah, as Yahweh was teaching, then it's your soul that's as good as dead. Everyone who has distance themselves from the Torah, as Paul would say, released and removed themselves from the Torah, 100% of those, their souls will either be dead or they will be eternally incarcerated in Sheol. No exceptions. It is only the opposite of this. By clinging to the Torah, by making the Torah part of the fabric of your life, for looking forward to the day that will occur just now, 19 years from now, when Yahweh inscribes a perfect copy of the Torah, writing it right inside the very fabric of our nature, so that Yahweh's Torah, his teaching, his guidance, and our soul are integrated. If you're not looking forward to that today, celebrate the thrill of having God's teaching inseparable from your very nature, then you're either going to spend eternity in Sheol, separated from God, with Hasatan and with Paul, or your soul is going to die. The opposite of what Paul is saying is true. God's Torah teaching is that which liberates us. It doesn't hold us down. It empowers us. It doesn't restrain us. It enlightens us. It does not hinder us. We, as the Torah begins, were enslaved to all manner of human institutions, religious, military, political. And it is Yahweh who led us away from those things to engage in a relationship with him. As he begins the first statement on the first of the two tablets that he etched in stone, he speaks of himself as the one who freed us from slavery to human schemes like Pauline Christianity. As for Paul's completely different and new spirit, now that part he did get right. Spirit's not new, but it is entirely different. There are two spirits at work in our world. Yahweh's and Hasatan's. The spirit that Paul met with on the road to Damascus was Satan's. He quoted Dionysus' his most famous line, put that in his spirit's mouth. When Yosha said, if someone comes to you claiming to have seen me in the wilderness, do not follow them. They're lying. That's exactly what Paul claimed. It's open and shut case at that point. Yosha said that when I'm seen again, the entire world is going to see me simultaneously as brilliant as a constellation of stars. And yet Paul contradicted him, said, no, you saw him on the road to Damascus. No, he met with Satan. Quoted Satan. even admitted in the second letter to the Corinthians that he was demon-possessed. That was the goad, the thorn in his side. The new spirit isn't new, it's an old spirit, but it's definitely a different spirit. The spirit of Pauline Christianity is Satan's. I know that is a real shock to most Christians, but it is nonetheless true. There is no way to differentiate a different spirit, a spirit that is wholly disassociated with the Torah and that which was written, without that spirit being Satan's. There's only two spirits active in the world. And the spirit of God, the spirit of Yahweh, the set-apart spirit, she is known only to those who are Torah observant. She is part of Yahweh, set apart from Yahweh to serve us. She isn't new. She isn't different. You want to meet her, read the Torah. If you distance yourself from the Torah, from the writings of the former age, then you have estranged yourself from her. You will never know her. And so since that is the spirit of the Torah, the spirit that Paul's introducing his faithful to, is the only other spirit at work in our world. So Paul's advice, I can't call it advice because Paul is saying, but I say, you know, this is his rebuttal to Yahusha, his argument against God. So in Paul's argument against God, he says that we should reject the old and obsolete way which was written. And we should replace it with a completely different and recent spirit. And that's the whole thing of Gnosticism, was that you want to reject the flesh and you want to embrace the spirit. It was what the Greek philosophers came up with, and the Greek philosophy was really the Greek religion. And Gnosticism was a rejection of the flesh for this spirit. And Paul is basing his new religion, this religion that is now known as Christianity, on this idea of rejecting the flesh, rejecting that which was old, and accepting that which is new, and that which is of the Spirit. But for this Spirit to be wholly disassociated from the Torah, for this Spirit to be wholly enfranchised from that which was written, then there's only one spirit that can be. Only one, Satan. Folks, and that's it. The spirit of Christianity, based upon Paul's letters, is satanic. So at least we've come face to face with Paul admitting that my interpretation of his opening statement in Galatians was correct. The old system that he was calling poneros, pornographic, corrupt and harmful, in the first sentence in his opening letter, that to the Galatians, that's none other than the Torah. He's affirming that our interpretation was accurate, that Paul was saying that Yahweh's old system, what he would call the Old Testament, was poneros, pornographic. That according to Paul, the Torah is dead. The Torah was inappropriate. It hindered us. It held us down. It was enslaving. It was corrupting. It was the source of all sin. And that Paul has released the faithful from all of that to his new and different spirit. He's released all Christians from God. He's released all Christians from the covenant. He's released all Christians from salvation, from engaging in a relationship with Yahweh. They've all been freed of the only thing that is valuable. That is the only informed and rational conclusion that can be made from what Paul has written in his most important letter to the Romans. If you're a Christian, because of Paul, you have been estranged from God. You cannot be saved. You will never see heaven. You've been condemned by the very one that you chose to believe. You've been beguiled into believing that God's foundation, where he introduced himself to us, where he introduced his covenant to us, was corrupt and harmful. I'm sorry for you. But it's not too late for those who are listening, who still have an open mind, who are able to use evidence and reason. And while Jaime mentioned that his parents went to Messianic Judaism, that's actually worse. Because now, rather than just having one false religious prophet, Paul, they have two. And they combined Akiva, and they blend rabbinic Judaism together with Pauline Christianity. Two wrongs never make a right. Well, based upon this incessant use of Torah in this argument, where Paul brings up the Torah in every possible negative light, we are left with no other viable alternative than Paul was doing the very thing that Yahusha, in the Sermon on the Mount, said that anyone who would do this thing would could be considered worthless by those in heaven. Paul is considered worthless by those in heaven. If you want to meet Paul, if you view that Paul's an apostle, if you think that Paul is a saint, if you think that Paul spoke for God and you want to meet him, you'll find him in hell. That's where his words lead. Yahweh's words lead to heaven, to his home, and Paul's lead to Sheol, for which he is named.